Good morning.
Good morning.
That's kind of a full house this morning. Good to see. Title of my talk this morning is Zen or Zazen as performance art, and it's not my phrase. It's a phrase of Tigan Leitens, but I'm going to talk a little bit about meditation and our practice, our Soto Zen practice. And a little bit about the active nature of Zen, of Zazen. Our meditation in this tradition, the Soto tradition, is very simple. It's simplicity, the epitome of simplicity. And our meditation practice is really the core of all of our tradition. It is the structural element of Soto Zen. Our school of Zen practice is oftentimes called the Zazen-only school. The meditation-only school. And the founder of Soto Zen, Dogen, Ehe Dogen, filled our meditation practice, our practice of meditation in Zazen, filled it with all sorts of meaning and symbols and values. And meditation, Zazen, may have stress-reducing qualities, it may have therapeutic qualities, but those are not the point. Those are not the reason we meditate. Our meditation is not a means to get someplace else. It's not a means to find enlightenment. It's not a means to reach nirvana. It's not a means to reduce stress. It isn't a means to anything. It is simply our meditation. On the program, there is a line from one of Dogen's later poems called The Lancet of Seated Meditation. It says, "The essential function of all the Buddhas, functioning essence of all the ancestors. It is present without thinking. It is completed without interacting." Here, Dogen is talking about Zazen, about meditation. And he's placing meditation within Buddhism. In Dogen's mind, the one thing that all the Buddhas did, the one thing that all of the ancestors did, the one thing they all had in common was this seated meditation. That is the line from Buddha forward. It is the essential function of all Buddhas, the functioning essence of all the ancestors. He's holding Zazen, he's holding meditation up as the practice. Does anybody have a watch? Thank you. I now use my cell phone as my watch, but you know, if I had it on here, who knows what would happen. So to Dogen, and in our tradition, we see Zazen as the core. the core of Buddhist practice. But Dogen goes even further than that, and he says, really, it is just Zazen. It is just Zazen. It is only Zazen. From another essay of his, he says, from the beginning of your training under a teacher, do not ever use incense burning, worship, nembutsu, confession, or recitation of the sutras, but sit intently in Zazen and attain the casting off of body and mind. He's saying all other practices are not worth doing. Don't chant the sutras. Don't read. Don't bow. Don't go out begging. Don't burn incense. Don't burn candles. Just sit Zazen. Now, of course, Dogen burnt candles, chanted sutras. He did all of that stuff. But from his perspective as a religious practice, really, Zazen is the Dharma gate. In Buddhism, we talk about Dharma gates a lot, and different schools have numerous Dharma gates, and Dharma gates are the way to enlightenment, the way to the Dharma. And different schools have any number of gates, and there are myriad gates. But for Dogen, Zazen was the Dharma gate. The Dharma gate, our meditation practice. And when I said that it's not, our Zazen is not a means to anything. It's not a means to stress reduction or better relationships or peace. And it is, in itself, it is whole and complete. From another essay called The Universally Recommended Instructions for Zazen, Dogen says, once you have adjusted your posture, take a breath, exhale fully, rock your body right and left, and settle into steady, immovable sitting. Think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Beyond thinking. This is the essential art of Zazen. The Zazen I speak of is not meditation practice. It is simply the Dharma gate of peace and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. It is not meditation practice. It's not practicing meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of peace and bliss, the practice realization of totally culminated enlightenment. What he's saying there is enlightenment is on the cushion with you right now. Right now. Enlightenment is not somewhere else. Your practice is not other than enlightenment. Enlightenment is not other than your practice. It's not other than your Zazen. There's no difference. So there's this sense of radical non-duality or non-dualism in your practice and your Zazen and enlightenment. The physical form, that crossing the legs, sitting upright, is in self, it is the body, the physical form, is the meditation, is our meditation. The way enlightenment is realized in your body. It's not somewhere else. It's not out there. It is in the physical structure of your body. And your body is not static. It's stable as you sit meditation, but it's certainly not static. So Dogen... And our tradition holds meditation as the practice and the Dharma Gate, the school of Zazen only, Shikantaza, and that practice is not a means to anything. It's not a means to self-improvement. It is in itself realization. It is itself enlightenment, practice realization. Which brings up, or brings me to another concept of Dogen's, which is, not just Dogen's, but it's called Jijuyu Zamai, or the Samadhi of Self-Fulfilling Activity. And in Dogen's mind, in Dogen's writings, that Samadhi of Self-Fulfilling Activities is what Buddhas pass on from, it's the transmission of the right transmission of Buddha Dharma. Samadhi means sometimes it's referred to as one-pointed concentration, but I don't think that's a good way to think of it. A samadhi is a non-dualistic awareness. Some people, in some writings, it's referred to as a trance. I don't like that term either. But a non-dualistic awareness of reality. And Dogen calls the samadhi of self-fulfilling activity the right transmission of the Dharma. What this means is, or what it means to me, is that as we sit zazen, or as we are in the world, we are active. We can't help but be active. It is the nature of life to be active. And that activeness in itself, in and of itself, is enough. It's absolutely enough. There's nothing to be grasping for. So we sit here. We are active. Our activity of life is inconceivable as we sit here, and it's tied in every which way to the unfolding of the universe. I mean, we sit here as physical bodies, with our brains going, and our hearts going, and our lungs going, and our stomachs going, and all of that activity, and it's simply one body, is really quite inconceivable. I mean, how is it that we function here right now as individuals? We can't, the amount of life coursing through each and every one of us in this moment is literally inconceivable. I mean, how many bugs, how many millions of bugs are in your body right now? All of them doing their thing. Cindy's getting a little excited over there. The evolutionary changes that have brought us here today, the hydraulics, the physiology, we are as individuals, amazingly complex. Beings, inconceivably complex, and we are inconceivably active. Activity activity is reality. Flow is reality, and that is how we manifest. The point that I'm getting at is that enlightenment is physical. Enlightenment is physical. It can't happen except in a physical body, and it is active. Zazen is physical and it's active, and enlightenment is physical and it's active. It's not clouds. It's not something out there. It's not. It is literally physical activity that is enlightenment. And that in our Zazen practice, although we aim to slow down and we aim to get calm, that when we get there, it is physical activity and it's physical. That's the essence of our practice, and that's the essence of enlightenment. So let me come at it a different way. So you're sitting Zazen. You're sitting quietly. And say you hear an airplane go overhead. We do that. We hear that a lot here. An airplane going overhead. And what's happening there is, you know, just physically, there's a sound, there's a vibration. It, you know, hits your ear and hits your consciousness, and there's something going on there that's manifesting in you. And intellectually, if you carry that out, that sound is the burning of jet fuel and the movement of that plane through the air. And the burning of that jet fuel is, you know, it's a pretty complex process that gets tons of fluid up there in the air, coursing through the air. But that fuel comes from the bowels of the earth. And what you're hearing, what you're listening to, is life, animals that had been around and died thousands and thousands of years ago, and you know, created pools of oil, of carbon in the bowels of the earth, got sucked up. That sound that you're hearing in this moment of an airplane is linked, inconceivably linked, through time and through space. And every sound is like that, and every sight is like that. Every physical sensation is like that, tied inconceivably through activity, through action. I mean, it's all kind of on the move. You hear the birds right now, the little sweet sounds of birds moving through in the springtime. Same thing. I mean, we hear that. Where did that little chirp come from? That bird has probably been in Central America or South America in the last month, and here it is singing. We hear it. What are the connections? What are the connections to worms and bugs and the entire universe in that one sound? It's all quite inconceivable. In another essay called Actualizing the Fundamental Point, there's a line that says, to carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. To carry yourself forward and experience myriad things is delusion. That myriad things come forth and experience themselves is awakening. I remember when I first read that years ago, and it was I found it quite startling. As we sit Zazen, are we experiencing myriad things, or are myriad things coming forth and experiencing themselves. So what is it to hear a bird? What is it to hear a plane? What is it to see light moving across, or shadow moving across the wall very slowly as you're sitting something? Is that you experiencing that? Or is it myriad things experiencing themselves? What is the separation between that sound and you and the bird? I think of that sound as intimate as a thought. That there really is no difference between hearing a sound or seeing a shadow move and a thought. They're all just arising right now. There are myriad things arising. So the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is that meditation, the practice of meditation, is action and it's physical. It's action and it's physical. And that, in Zazen and the samadhi of self-fulfilling activity and the oneness of practice and realization, not thinking, those are all words for the same thing. They're all really the same thing. And that gets me to performance art. So what is, why did I make that claim that Zazen is performance art? The subtitle could be Zazen as Creative Expressive Activity. I mean, and this is a different way, I think, to think of Zazen. But to think of Zazen as creative and expressive activity. And I think this was one of Dogen's significant transformations of what meditation is. Dogen lived in the 12th century, and he lived in the 13th century. There's a 12th century Chinese master, Hangzhe, to whom Dogen looked with the greatest of respect. He was from the Kaodong school of Buddhism, of Zen, and he wrote a lot. Hangzhe compiled a book of koans and commentaries called the Book of Serenity, and Dogen looked up to him quite as a Buddha. Hangzhe's Zen, or Zazen, was often referred to as silent illumination, and it differed from there was koan introspection, which is a way of study. There are different types of meditation, and Hangzhe's was referred to as silent illumination. And there were big debates going on at that time about koan study and silent illumination and meditation. Dogen went a step further, and rather than silent illumination, rather than sitting in silence and having that, just being aware and illuminating reality in silence, Dogen took it a little bit different direction. And his meditation, or the meditation that he taught, included this idea of self-fulfilling activity. That as a human being, on the cushion, we were actualizing reality. There was this sense of activity involved in meditation practice. The activity of reality. And he saw reality as connected. I mean, that activity, sitting on a cushion, is connected to all other reality, all other activity. But there is this element of not simply silent illumination, but actually, in your zazen, actualizing reality. So in that way, if performance art is creatively expressing the truth of reality or human, or any art, is the creative expression of truth or reality through activity, whether it's performance art or creating a visual piece of art or a sculpture or music, this creative expression of truth or reality as art. In some ways, sitting zazen, meditating, is expounding the Dharma, is creatively expressing reality, expressing the truth in the moment. It's not a passive activity. Meditation is not passive. It's actively expounding the Dharma. You can't help but doing it. We're actively expounding the Dharma right now. And in meditation, it's kind of a crystallization, sitting with that. It is impossible as a human being to not be active. Katagiri once talked about art and meditation as the same. Katagiri is the founder of this center, this temple. And he once referred to that activity of creating art as being the same as meditation. But he said that the difference is that in zazen, you don't applaud and leave the theater. So there is that essence of you know, that creatively expressing the truth as art is similar. It has aspects that are the same as zazen or meditation. The universally recommended recommendation for zazen says, and I hold this dear. It's Dogen's recommendations for sitting zazen. He says after your sitting, he says, when you rise from your sitting, move slowly and quietly, calmly and deliberately. Do not move suddenly or abruptly. I think what he's saying there is make darn sure that when you get up from your cushion, that it's not, zazen's over, now it's on to life. That in fact, zazen isn't over. That you should carry, that you do, whether you're aware of it or not, carry that awareness and attention and activity as you get up with your body, to carry that with you, to don't kind of snap out of your zazen and then get on with your life. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So I think. In conclusion, I'm tempted to be a little provocative here about conceiving of or thinking about Zazen as number one, physical. I mean, it's grounded in one's body, and also active. That Zazen is active. That enlightenment is active. That enlightenment is physical and active. And it's now. It's physical, it's active, and it's now. And enlightenment and nirvana cannot happen any other way than physically, actively, now. It doesn't happen in some vapor in the future. It doesn't happen in some vapor in the future. It can only happen physically, actively, and now. And that is the samadhi of self-fulfilling activity. And that is Zazen. That is our meditation practice. And whether it's like performance art or not, I don't know. I'm done. Does anybody have any comments or questions? I rode my my motor scooter over here this morning from St. Paul, and my motor scooter can only go about 33 miles an hour, but I can tell you, going 33 miles an hour on a cool morning was really quite bracing, and I was thinking to myself, so is this the samadhi of self-fulfilling activity? It's freezing. Like the physical aspects of the monastery, or? I am not sure. I'm going to look to Rosemary or someone else if they know exactly what the schedule was. I do know that Dogen, at periods of his life, sat for hours and hours and hours and hours, but I don't know what the schedule was for sitting. The other, an aspect of that is that this idea of samadhi of self-fulfilling activity carried out in the rules of the monastery. I mean, virtually every activity was gone into in detail by Dogen as to how to do it in a way that when you were washing your feet or shaving your head, you were doing it in a way that encouraged the samadhi of self-fulfilling activity. That washing your feet and shaving your head were so structured, or he gave instructions that emphasized that was the Dharma. That is, in those activities, in those daily activities, is where enlightenment unfolded, where the way unfolded. So, his pure standards are just going into great detail about day-to-day activities. But I don't know what the schedule of meditation was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Scott. I can understand how I experience the myriad things, but how do the myriad things experience themselves? Where am I in that picture?
One way to look at it is that your experiences are the myriad things. You are the myriad things. You have this sense that, oh, I'm experiencing something else, but in fact, the myriad things are manifesting in your experience, or are manifesting themselves in your experience. It's that radical non-dualism of Dogen's, that you are the myriad things, and your experiences are the myriad things. Conceptually, we think of ourselves as an entity that is separate from all that, but we are the matrix. We are part of that net. We are that net. Yes.
So you're speaking of Buddhism and Zen, and one of my Buddhist names is Samadhi, and it's translated to stillness.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so the duality of stillness and activity. They're the same. Other comments or questions? This feels like performance art right now. David kind of stuck his head out from behind the corner, his bald head, and I can kind of see half of it, but it felt a little bit like performance. There. Bill.
I was just going to comment that most descriptions of peak experiences are from athletes. And even that, so it's just a comment I'm just thinking about activity. Is that even we always think that understanding what we're after, that is really, I think it's through those activities that you have that kind of experience. And even say writing, which we equate with thinking, it's actually the act of writing where those things can take place, and you can think so long, but at a certain point it's the actualizing of your action, which is sort of the same way as you're describing. Mm-hmm. But when you read about this, like the basketball player who becomes omniscient, it's through that activity because he's completely out.
And gross, yeah.
Some of that Bill and David's comments reminded me of the time when we were here, it was a few years ago on a Saturday, and there was a race going on outside. And there were people standing out there cheering and clapping when people went by. And it was the most wonderful zazen. Everybody commented about it afterwards, because people were, as we were sitting here, people were going, "You can do it!" It was so great. So, I recommend coming any morning that there's a race.
But I was going to comment, when you said about Samadhi being quiet, is that once I was just in this bicycle crash in New York City, it was really going to be bad. It was incredibly quiet, just that moment of the pain. You're like, wow. Yeah, lots of space, and it was just incredibly quiet.
Well, yeah, and that idea of stillness is is coming back to that. The stillness is is a quietness of the chatter, but it's an awareness, the stillness of samadhi is really alive and vibrant and active and aware of life and of so, you know, stillness but aliveness and activity at the same time.
I like how you described the physical form of sitting as just, I mean, I've heard it over and over, and for some reason that clicked, the notion of just sitting, because it takes the rationalizing of sitting and thinking and trying grasping out of it. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of if you just sat, sooner or later you come around to the non-duality. Mm-hmm. Of it by taking yourself out of the picture. I think that's what some people are talking about. It. The whole idea of you experiencing all things in this framework doesn't exist because you don't exist independently of all things. Mm-hmm. And just sitting, just the form, helps me think about it in terms of just stop rationalizing, because rationalizing is you and something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.